Where do you go when you want to know what's new to do and who is who?
Studio Classroom is the place to be.
Come along and you will see connecting is the thing to do. Give your life a different view.
You can learn and you can share with people living everywhere.
Studio Classroom, the place to learn.
The place to grow.
Stay tuned and watch the show.
Hello and welcome to Studio Classroom. My name is Gabe.
I'm Carolyn.
And I'm Nathaniel.
And thank you for joining us today. The second day of our lesson, Whose Name? Many things today are named after lots of people. As many as 50,000 words in the English language come from different people's names. Nathaniel, what was one thing we learned about yesterday?
Well, we learned that John Montague wanted something convenient to eat while working or gambling, and that was a sandwich, which had never been made before. He was the Earl of Sandwich, so it was named after him. What was the other thing that we talked about, Carolyn?
Well, we also learned about Granny Smith apples, which were named after Maria Ann Smith, and she was persuaded by the British government to move to Australia, and she and her husband had an apple tree farm there.
That's right, and this special variety of tart apple became known as the Granny Smith apple. Well, we're going to learn about a lot more things today, many other things that were named after people. Let's get started with our first reading of the day.
Whose Name? The 14th century Dutch fisherman, William Buchels, began to pickle fish. His method of preserving fish spread, but British traders didn't pronounce his name correctly. Soon, pickles became popular in many countries. The Chinese dish Kung Pao chicken was created in Sichuan province by Ding Baojun. He served the spicy dish when he was governor of the province from 1876 to 1886. After Ding died, people named the dish for him.
Hello, listeners. This is your word, Lady Ellen. Ever wonder where the Ferris wheel got its name or why we measure temperature in Celsius degrees? Great news. We'll learn all about it today on day two of our article. Here is today's vocabulary. Preserve. Preserve is a verb. We can preserve those apples, so don't throw them away. Governor. Governor is a noun. The governor of New York State makes important decisions. Engineer. Engineer is a noun. A famous engineer designed the new bridge across the river. Scientific. Scientific is an adjective. Men and women have made some interesting scientific discoveries studying space. Your more information words are province. Province is a noun. World Columbian Exposition. World Columbian Exposition is a noun. Thermometer. Thermometer is a noun. Now let's get ready to finish the article.
Well, we're learning about some different tasty foods here. So far, we've talked about the pickle and gongbao jiding, where these things got their names. We start out by finding the 14th century Dutch fisherman Willem Buchels began to pickle fish. So, even before we found out about the pickle, we're already using this word in the sentence. He began to pickle fish. Well, this guy, Willem Buchels, he's Dutch. That means he's from Holland. Now, what else can we find out about him, Carolyn?
Well, we see that his method of preserving fish spread, but British traders didn't pronounce his name correctly. And in this sentence, we see the word preserve, and if you pickle something, then you make it last longer. You want to preserve it so you can eat it later. How else might you use this word, Nathaniel?
Well, with some foods, we call them preserves, like strawberry preserves. It's kind of like a jam or jelly, but sometimes we use that kind of word to describe that kind of food, preserves.
That's right. Now, this also kind of reminds me of another word, conserve, C-O-N-S-E-R-V-E. You want to conserve your energy. All of these words kind of have a similar meaning, to save something, to make it great for later. To preserve something like food, you are making it good or to last longer so that you can enjoy it later. Well, we find out that soon pickles became popular in many countries. Okay, so do you agree, Carolyn? Does his name kind of sound like pickle?
Well, his name is Buchels. Mm-hmm. And if you are from another country, the British, they weren't quite sure how to pronounce his name, and it might have sounded a little bit like pickles to them.
All right, I guess it could be easily confused. Well, Nathaniel, what else do we find out about? What other thing has someone who named a dish after him?
The Chinese dish, Kung Pao Chicken or Gong Bao Ji Ding, was created in Sichuan province by Ding Bao Zhen. Okay, so this is a Chinese dish that is named after a historical person. It's interesting.
That's right. We're finding out about lots of different things. And something is Gong Bao Ji Ding. I really enjoy Gong Bao Ji Ding. Do you like Gong Bao Ji Ding, Carolyn?
Well, you know, I really like it, but I don't eat it anymore because it has chicken in it. Oh, it's really too bad, but it is a delicious dish. And we see in our article that he served the spicy dish when he was governor of the province from 1876 to 1886. So he was the governor for 10 years. And governor is one of our word bank words today. So let's take a look at that. Nathaniel, can you tell us about governor?
Well, usually when I hear the word governor, I think of American politics, in which a governor is kind of like the political leader of his state, like the governor of Illinois or of Florida. But of course, you could say that the American president governs the whole country. Kind of take that word out of governor and make govern as a verb.
And I also see the word governor actually in this dish, Gong Bao Ji Ding. I think Gong Bao kind of has that meaning too. He was a governor, and so this dish is named after him. There are, like Nathaniel said, different governors of different states in America. It also makes me think of another word, mayor. You may have heard this word before too. A mayor is a leader for a smaller part or the local part of a state, like a city. A city would have a mayor, but the state has a governor. Well, we continue on. After Ding died, people named the dish for him. So after he was gone, this dish was named after him. Well, this makes me think of that phrase, named for somebody. The dish was named for him. You could also say it's named after him. There are a couple different ways to say that. Right now, it's time for us to continue learning something new with Michelle in the Language Lab.
Hi, everyone. I'm Michelle. 今天的第一个重点，我们来看 preserve 这个动词。S-E-R-V 这个字根有保留的意思，所以 preserve 在这里特别是指保鲜或者是腌制食物。例如 ,Mom preserved the cabbage with salt and red chili powder. 妈妈用盐巴和红辣椒粉来腌制白菜。Preserve 也指保留或保存。例如 ,the historical building is well preserved, so it's very beautiful. 这栋历史性的建筑被保存得很好，所以非常的漂亮。接着我们看的是 governor 这个名词。governor 是指州长、省长或者是总督。例如 ,the governor made a commitment to cut taxes in his campaign pamphlet. 州长在他的竞选宣传单中做了减税的承诺。他的动词是 govern, 意思是指统治或管理。例如 ,the election will decide who will govern the country in the coming 4 years. 这场选举会决定谁会在未来四年统治我们的国家。
In today's lesson so far, we've learned about two dishes that are named after people. The first one is named after Willem Buchels, and it is called the pickle. And pickling is just a way of preserving something so that it will last longer. The second one we learned about is Gong Bao Ji Ding, and it is named after a governor from Sichuan province in China. Well, we have a few more things to learn about today, so let's see what else has been named after people.
Whose name? More than just foods take people's names. Many enjoy riding on a Ferris wheel named for engineer George W.G. Ferris. He designed the first one for Chicago's World Columbian Exposition in 1893. Many places measure temperature in Celsius. Anders Celsius was a Swedish scientist. He invented a thermometer where water's boiling point was 0 degrees and its freezing point 100 degrees. After his death in 1744, the scale was changed to its present form. Scientific laws, diseases, sports terms, and places around the world use people's names. You can't escape them. They're everywhere.
Well, we learned about some very interesting things here. The Celsius thermometer and, of course, the Ferris wheel. Let's take a look at that first sentence there. More than just foods take people's names. Yes, many enjoy riding on a Ferris wheel named for engineer George W.G. Ferris. All right, he has a long name, and he has a very important word in his name, something that we all enjoy. And, of course, he was an engineer. Let's take a look at that word bank word, engineer. An engineer is someone who knows how to operate something. He works on something, or maybe he creates it so that it operates well. What kinds of engineers are there, Nathaniel?
Well, there are many kinds of engineers. There are civil engineers that might work on roads or bridges, or there are chemical engineers that, of course, work with chemicals.
That's right.
Yeah, and there are also electrical engineers that deal with electricity and appliances, but engineer could also be someone who is in charge of driving a train. Mm-hmm. They can also be called an engineer.
That's right. That's because a train has a train engine. He is the engineer. He operates the train. Well, this man, George Ferris, he created something called the Ferris wheel, and of course, I think many of us have ridden in Ferris wheels. Carolyn, do you like Ferris wheels, or have you ever ridden in an interesting Ferris wheel?
Well, I do like Ferris wheels because they give you a great opportunity to see a very long way away. You can see very far if you are sitting at the top of a Ferris wheel, and I usually try to ride at least one Ferris wheel if I go to an amusement park.
That's right. A lot of amusement parks do have Ferris wheels. Or you might also say they are fairs. A fair might have a Ferris wheel. Nathaniel, do you like Ferris wheels?
I do enjoy Ferris wheels. They're not my favorite kind of ride. They're not the most exciting ride. I like roller coasters, but they are good for seeing the view, like Carolyn said.
Right. The views from Ferris wheels are great. So unless you are afraid of heights, do go out and enjoy a Ferris wheel. Well, we continue learning about George Ferris. He designed the first Ferris wheel for Chicago's World Columbian Exposition in 1893. He designed the original Ferris wheel. Well, Carolyn, can you please tell us a little bit about the World Columbian Exposition?
Well, it is a very long name, and I was a little confused when I first saw Colombian. I thought maybe it was talking about the country in South America, but actually they are talking about Christopher Columbus, and they wanted to have a big World's Fair to celebrate the 400th anniversary from when Columbus first landed in America.
All right, well, there is the history to this World Columbian Exposition. It does celebrate a very important date. Nathaniel, how does our article continue?
Well, we're going to talk about another example of something named after someone that we're familiar with. Many places measure temperature in Celsius. Mm-hmm. I think America uses Fahrenheit, but many other countries use Celsius.
It's true, and Celsius is named after Anders Celsius, who was a Swedish scientist. And Carolyn, what else can we find out about Anders Celsius?
Well, we see that he invented a thermometer where water's boiling point was 0 degrees and its freezing point 100 degrees. Now, this is also a little bit confusing because that's no longer true. Mm-hmm. What happened, Gabe?
Well, the scale was reversed. Of course, now we see a Celsius thermometer where the boiling point is 100 degrees and the freezing point is 0 degrees. But he created kind of a scale with the opposite. So he is very important for today, for when we measure our heat, how hot or cold something is. But how else does this article continue, Nathaniel?
The next sentence actually talks about this change. It says, after his death in 1744, the scale was changed to its present form. As we talked about now, 100 degrees is the boiling point and 0 degrees is the freezing point in the Celsius thermometer.
That's right. That is the present form, the way it is now. Well, we continue. Scientific laws, diseases, sports terms, and places around the world use people's names. It's true. Let's talk about that word from the word bank. It is scientific. This is an adjective that describes anything that has to do with science. So how could you use that word, Carolyn? What comes to mind?
Well, I usually think of scientific research. Mm. It seems like they are always trying to research perhaps a new medicine, and they need to do a scientific study.
Mm-hmm. So scientific research. Nathaniel, do you ever use that word, scientific?
Yeah, sometimes we do use that word. You might say something like a scientific process. Mm. The way that you do something is scientific in that maybe you're trying to find out something about it or you're doing it in a very detailed, measured way.
That's right. Also known as the scientific method. People who want to know how things work, they use the scientific method to observe things over and over again. Well, we continue that you can't escape these things. They're everywhere. You can't escape them. Let's take a look at those words. Can't escape. If you can't escape something, that means you're stuck with it. How else could you use that phrase, Carolyn?
That's right. You can't avoid it or get away from it. And I think that many times you can't escape seeing people taking pictures of their food in restaurants.
It's something very common. Yes, you can't escape that. How do you use that phrase?
Well, sometimes we may not be able to escape some kind of feeling. We can't escape this feeling of sadness sometimes. We just always feel sad for several days.
Well, we do hope that if you are feeling sad or depressed, that you can escape that feeling somehow. We're going to continue learning something with Steve and Ken in the Information Cloud about that phrase, they're everywhere. And then we'll enjoy a review skit and learn something later with Michelle.
Hi, friends. How do you describe something that is everywhere? If you go to a big city, you might find taxis everywhere. How do you describe that?
Well, there's a big word in English that describes just that, and it's ubiquitous. And that is spelled U-B-I-Q-U-I-T-O-U-S.
So I might say taxis are ubiquitous in Taipei. You'll find them everywhere. Except when you need one. Now, there's another big word that has a similar meaning, and that's omnipresent. O-M-N-I-P-R-E-S-E-N-T.
So, now you must be asking, what's the difference between ubiquitous and omnipresent? Well, ubiquitous is something that you might find everywhere, like taxis in big cities. Omnipresent, however, is something that's present in all places at all times.
Here's another way to look at it. Omnipresent describes one thing everywhere. Like air is everywhere, all the time. It's omnipresent.
And if you believe in God, you would say He is omnipresent. One God in all places, all the time. He is omnipresent.
Ubiquitous, on the other hand, is many things all the same everywhere, like cell phones.
Yes, you see cell phones everywhere you go, but they're not the same cell phone, so they're not omnipresent, they're ubiquitous.
Omnipresent 跟 ubiquitous 这两个字都表示无所不在，但这两个字有很大的不同。Omnipresent 是形容一个东西同时到处都存在，像空气在地球上是 omnipresent。有人认为上帝是 omnipresent, 无所不在。Ubiquitous 是形容很多的 同一类的东西到处都有。在一个大都市，计程车可以说是 ubiquitous， 有很多台，到处都有。在一个现代的社会，手机也是ubiquitous， 在路上人手一机。今天课文讲到以人名命名为的各种东西是 everywhere， you can't escape them， 你躲避不了，他们到处都有，在这里就可以用 ubiquitous 来形容。这就是今天的 Info Cloud， 我们下次云端见。
Some people's namesHave become common words.
Yeah, as many as 50,000 of them.
Like Sandwich, for example. It was named after the Earl of Sandwich.
Yeah, he had no time for meals, so his servants put meat between pieces of bread.
And the sandwich was born and eaten.
Oh, Granny Smith apples are named after a grandmother, Maria Ann Smith.Maria and her husband moved to a farm in Australia.
They grew apple trees on their farm, and the tart apples became known as Granny Smith apples. Mmm, they're delicious!
And the 14th century Dutchman, Mr. Pickles? Bugles?
How do you say that name?
Anyway, he had a special method of preserving fish.
Because the British traders had trouble saying his name, like we did, that method is called pickled.
And what about Kung Pao chicken? Did you know that spicy dish was named after the Chinese governor, Ding Bao Zhen?
Wow. Well, I know it now. Another word from a name is the Ferris wheel. It was invented by an engineer, George W.G. Ferris. He designed the first Ferris wheel for the Chicago Fair.
Yeah. Oh, and there's also Anders Celsius. He was the Swedish scientist that invented the Celsius thermometer.
Yeah, there are so many common words from people's names. 50,000 of them.
Yeah, we could go on and on and on and on and on, but we won't.We're out of time.
Yeah.
Okay, 接下来我们看的是 engineer 这个名词。Engineer 是指工程师。例如 a software engineer 是指电脑软体工程师或者是 a civil engineer, 土木工程师 ,CIVIL。它的名词是字尾再加上 ing, engineering 意思是指工程、工事或者是工程学。例如 ,the design of the bridge is a breakthrough in structural engineering, 这座桥设计是结构工程学的突破之举。最后我们看的是 scientific 这个形容词，它的名词是 science, 科学，所以 scientific 是指科学的。例如 ,the use of animals in scientific experiments is banned in many countries. 在科学实验中使用动物的做法在许多国家是被禁止的。或者是 ,it seems that there's no scientific explanation for this phenomenon. 这个现象似乎没有科学的解释。And let's get back to our teachers.
We've talked all about things that are named after different people. Nathaniel, what is something else that is named for someone?
Well, I thought of the Shakespearean sonnet. Mm-hmm. It's a specific kind of form of poetry named after, of course, William Shakespeare.
All right. What about you, Carolyn? Do you use any words named after people?
I do. One that I think a lot of people use now is Bluetooth. And Bluetooth was actually named after King Harold Bluetooth.Of Denmark, and the inventors of the Bluetooth device decided it was a good name because King Harold of Denmark united Scandinavia, and they wanted to unite your computer with other electronics.
Interesting. That's where we get the Bluetooth. And of course, if you have a teddy bear, that was named after Theodore Roosevelt, who went out hunting and refused to shoot a bear.You have a teddy bear. Well, there are so many things that are named after different people. What are some other ones? Talk about them in English, and we'll see you next time right here on Studio Classroom. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
The Adventures of Tom Sawyer by Mark Twain. late when you get back. Perhaps you ought to spend the night with one of the girls who live near the landing place.
Then I'll stay with Susie Harper, Mother. But on their way to the landing place, Tom said to Becky,
Instead of going to Joe Harper's, let's climb up the hill and stop at Widow Douglas's. She'll have ice cream, and she'll be really glad to have us.
Oh, that will be fun. Then Becky thought for a moment. But what will my mother say?
Your mother won't know. So what's wrong with the idea? I expect she would have told you to go there if she thought of it.
The Widow Douglas's great kindness and ice cream won the argument, and they decided to say nothing to anybody about where they would go. 5 kilometers below St. Petersburg, the steamboat stopped at the mouth of a small stream and tied up. The crowd landed, and soon there was shouting and laughing as the children tried all the different ways of getting hot and tired. The picnic followed, and then a rest under the trees. Then somebody shouted,
Who's ready for the cave?
Everybody was. They took their candles and started to climb. The mouth of the cave was high up the hillside, an opening shaped like the letter A. The long string of lighted candles began the journey down the main passageway. This main passageway was not more than 3 or 4 meters wide, but the light of all the candles together hardly reached the top 20 meters above them. Every few steps, other high and narrower passages branched from it on each side. MacDougall's cave was made up of numberless passages that ran into each other and led nowhere.